Hello, I'm Candace Burke, and this is Community Spotlight on Gila Members Community Radio, Silver City, New Mexico, Kuru 89.1 FM, and online at gmcr.org. Our purpose is to enhance public awareness of our featured nonprofit or advocacy organization in Grant County and surrounding area. Today's guest is Victoria Chick. Victoria is here to talk about the Southwest Regional Museum of Art and Art Center. She's also on the board of directors for this museum. Welcome to Community Spotlight, Victoria.
Thank you, Candace. I'm glad to be able to be here to talk about this wonderful project that's dear to my heart.
I'm delighted. Well, first of all, let's start with the history and vision of this museum and how you became involved with it.
Oh, that the incubation period has been a long time. This started when I heard Barrett Burev speak about beginning a community foundation that would benefit Grant County. This was actually down in Las Cruces at the time, before it moved here. And Barrett was inspirational to me, and I started thinking about how much I love living here and how much I could do for the community that really I was so happy to be here. And so my husband and I developed an endowment with the Southwest Community Foundation at that time. And it was, the idea was it would support the operations of a museum if one should ever be built in Silver City. And then I decided, well, I've got to have somebody to operate this, and be able to function and be able to spearhead the development of the museum, because by that time I would be long gone, and that endowment would have had time to really grow and be very useful. So I got a group together who I knew were interested, and actually they were not all artists. There was a couple of artists. There were an entrepreneur. There was a business person. There was a lawyer. They were really helpful in helping to focus our ideas and to develop something that we felt we could really be proud of in the future. Unfortunately, or fortunately, they got overexcited and said, let's do this now. So not waiting for me to pass the wand and kick the bucket. So anyway, after we decided that, then we got very serious and we focused our planning more intensely, and we wound up with a 501c3 designation from the IRS, which was important to us because at that point we needed to raise some money. We are a little bit beyond that right now, but we're in a stage where we have raised some money, and now we need to raise more money. And we've used our initial funds, and we've put some money in. But people have been very interested in this project. We've had two fundraisers, like events, and then we've also raised money twice through the Grant County Community Foundation Give Grandly project. So we are happy where we are right now because we have funds to raise more money, and we have funds to pay grant writers and so forth. So we are ready to move forward in bigger steps.
Well, you know, we first met at Give Grandly, and I knew as soon as I met you, I had to have you on, because it just sounds so fascinating what you're creating here. And just hearing about the art museum itself, just the little I know about it. For example, there's a lot about developing lots of exhibits, lectures.
Yes.
Interactive art.
Yes. Museums, I mean, a traditional museum, the definition hasn't changed, but the carrying out of the definition has expanded. For instance, all museums, and ours included, our mission is to preserve art of the past and to educate through it. And so those are the two big things. Now, the art center that is attached with the museum doesn't preserve art, but they are in the educational aspect of it. So we are trying to plan for art making opportunities for every age group, and have after school things, and also use the museum to bring people in. Museums traditionally have docents, which are very useful, but we want to have a little bit more meat to offer. And so I was an art history lecturer at the University of San Diego, so I really enjoy that idea. I think it's important for people to really learn in depth about art as much as they want to take. And part of that opportunity to do that at the museum would come through the art research library, which we have been given by Spike Flanders. And so we're thrilled about that. That is being cataloged as I speak here. And so that will be, once we have a place to put it, it will just, seamlessly move in. And people, it won't be a lending library, but it will be a library where people can come and do research.
That's exciting. Now, how many artists are involved with this vision as we speak?
Well, in our group, I would say there's three artists on the current board. But we're at the point where we want to expand, and we would like to have a group of directors in which all the aspects, all the areas of the community are represented, because everybody's got ideas. We think we know, as we were informing us, we think we know what is needed, but we may not know everything. Probably don't.
Yeah.
So we want input from many different ethnic groups, many different interest groups, and so forth. So that's where we are now, and this is the first time it's been announced that we are seeking directors, and so we hope that people would contact us. They can do that by emailing me. That would be fine. It's victoriachick@victoriachick.com. That's not hard to remember.
That's easy. And also the one I wrote down earlier is that...
Yeah, we also have a website now, and that is SWRMART. Did I miss
anywhere? I think, by Jove, I think you have it.
Okay.
And I also have it on the website.
Yeah, that is a .org designation. So.
And do you have a physical building?
No. And we are in the stage now where, we are trying to buy the old Silver City Post Office, because in our search of buildings that currently in Silver City, there are possibilities. We think that is the most important building because of its history, and also the most usable for our purposes. With a lot of remodeling and so forth, and bringing it up to ADA standards. When I look at the front of it, with that steep step, a set of stairs went up to the front door. How did anybody with a crutch, why was anybody able to get in that building to buy stamps? But we would change the configuration of the front so it would be accessible to everyone.
That's excellent. It's so important to have.
However, it may be it will be before we have enough money, it will be sold. Or maybe they will decide they don't want to sell it. So we are keeping our options open. We are continuing to look at other spaces and considering building from scratch.
That's another option.
Yes.
Because at least with scratch, it's even better to create something for anyone who has a disability to access.
And we can build it. We wouldn't deliver remodeling. We'd be building exactly as we think the space would be used. So there's a lot of options, and we, in our advertising and in our written handouts. We show the Silver City Post Office because that was the first thing we thought of, and we have not given up on that.
It sounds like you really have a good vision in place. That's for sure. Now, this place would also have a gift shop, like a lot of museums.
Well, yes, we are in business. This is a small community, and it's an art community, and there's a lot of galleries, and we won't be in business to compete with the galleries. So what we will have in the museum will probably be things that would be related to the exhibits that we're having. So it would be specific things, you know, that would tie in. I've lived here. I came here because of the art galleries, and I came here because of the forest and so forth. And so we don't want to rock anybody's boat. However, we do think that the museum is actually a tourist draw, and that we see that around the country in any town that establishes an art museum, more people come. People stay longer, especially if there's more than one museum in a community.
That makes a lot of sense,
yeah,
actually.
I mean, having a museum, they have an advantage of the location at the old post office is that you're right next to the Silver City Museum. And so now we've got an art district.
We do.
And the close proximity of the Western New Mexico University Museum. So people would have reason to come, more of a reason. Silver City is kind of off the beaten path, as we know, and we found it.
I love the story you shared with me about how you found it. You left and came back because you didn't even make it to downtown.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
So, anyway, we know that people in Sutton Pike will come here to visit and wind up staying. Just like we did.
Yes, we did. It's like you knew, we knew, well, we knew right away this was going to be our home.
Yeah.
And having all the artists here, even though I just painted my very first painting for the first time in my life about 6 months ago. It's nothing to brag about, listeners. However, just being around so many artists, I hope something would rub off by osmosis. Well, it didn't, but it still makes me appreciate the talent and the gifts we have here.
No, never discount that. I was an art therapist for 16 years.
Tell us a little bit more about your career. I was fascinated by that.
I worked with a psychiatrist and in a residential facility. And I never tried to analyze somebody's work, because they do a picture and you can ask questions, because they will be most of the time mean something much different than you think you see. So it was a very interesting job. I enjoyed it.
What did you love most about that work? What did you say?
I loved it when people came to me and they came into the room for the first time and would tell me, I'm not an artist. And then I would usually start with clay, because most people had no preconceived notions about using it. And they would manipulate it and come up with something that surprised them. I didn't know I could do that, they would say. And that was to see the look on their face was really fun for me, and they changed their tune usually. You know, they didn't talk about what they couldn't do and start talking about what they could do. Or they would. There was one woman who wanted to go home, and her doctor didn't want her to go home, and so. I had her wedge the clay, and she would say the doctor's name, but she would throw the clay down on the table. You know? So she was just sort of getting rid of her anger with the material. So some of the outcomes of using the art materials are not exactly making objects. but they're working through the process.
I really feel that an art therapy is so essential as part of the healing process, especially like with trauma-informed therapy. I think, you know, art therapy is so, I think, so critical.
It can really help.
And so do you see that as part of your vision for the museum on some level, too, or?
Well, not directly.
Not directly?
I mean, anytime you're working with art materials, things are happening psychologically that are to your benefit. I really believe that. But I don't think it's necessary to talk about it, because the people who are doing it generally will recognize after their session that they're feeling a lot better. So and then you can turn whatever they're dealing with into something positive, because they can make something. They can take their and they don't all have to be feeling bad, you know, to feel good.
Exactly. Even better. And what are some next steps, Victoria? I know this is very involved and it's percolating, it's been incubating for a while. So what can we expect next from this project?
Well, I've been speaking with Mark Wallheimer, who is an international museum designer from New York. I've talked with him a number of times. He's been very gracious to talk to me when I really had nothing too much to offer him.
Yeah.
But I spoke to him recently, and he's given us some advice on moving forward at our stage. So I'm positive about that. I'm meeting with people who are more experienced than I am in fundraising, and so I bring these ideas back to the board. They discuss it. They may vote on it. I really can't tell you exactly right now, because actually I'm meeting with the board on Thursday. What we're going to try to do is, on our website, we're going to put things that are happening once we decide on something definite, so that people understand and we want to communicate where we are right now, so that they can keep up and they can be excited for us, hopefully. So.
Well, this is all very, very exciting. What other thoughts do you have regarding this project, this museum that's materializing? It is, because you're getting the funding and your things are happening.
Super City has a lot of artists. They have a lot of people who have collected art. But some people have some very significant things in their collection.
Like a de Kooning, maybe?
I think that was passed up. Yes. I mean, that is, that's the tip of the thing. These are surprising things. I want people to be excited about what we already have. We already have almost 1,400 pieces of art that people have given us. Much of it is really significant.
1,400 pieces.
Yeah, I've got bronze sculpture. I've got life-size bronze sculpture. I've got my collection, which is several hundred pieces. I've got, and all this stuff, almost all of this stuff, is by artists of repute, artists whose work is in other museums. And so, what we have as a little pot of wedding to be shown,
wow,
is wonderful. It really is. Now, when there are other people, one of the things we would like to encourage people to do, to think about anyway, is to, I like for them to think about bequests, or if they have a painting that they know is really worthy, and that they have, like me, who has no children, they don't have anybody to really pass things down to, would they consider gifting it? Not gifting it right now, but sort of having an agreement that it would be a request that would come to us after they passed away. We don't like to talk about those things as well.
Yeah, I know.
But
made me think of my javelina painting of a javelina in a tomato patch. I don't know if it's going to be really worth anything, but it's something to consider.
This is the way museums grow. Mm-hmm. And we have no money to buy art right now. So people have been giving us things, or saying they will, when they die, they will give us things. So, right now, we're storing a lot of art. I don't know that we have room to store
it. I was just going to ask you, where are you storing all this art?
I can't tell you.
Oh, I mean, no, we know. I mean, we don't give out that. How do you store all? How do you store all that art?
You have to have a proper place. You have to have it where the conditions mirror the museum, as far as, temperature and humidity. Because you are in the business of preserving, after all. So we have, and then things, the things we can't exhibit in a storage place. So that's the drawback. And so that's why we're looking for a space. We're thinking right now about opening a office, more or less, a space that will be large enough where we could hang four or five pieces of our art, maybe change it out once a month. So people could come in, they could see the kinds of things we have, and enjoy those, and maybe think how if they have something that could add to it. So that's where we are now. We our funds allow us to have a business space. I mean, let's face it, museums are great, but they are a business, and nobody knows that better than our board of directors.
Now, what's your favorite museum?
Oh,
there's probably so many to choose from.
There are so many. My first real experience with museums was in Kansas City, and then it was the Nelson Gallery. And they've expanded. Their expansion was pictured in Art News and the New York Times and stuff. It's a really great museum. There's another great museum in Arkansas, in Fayetteville, which is Crystal Bridges, and it was built by one of the Walmart heirs, and it's really fantastic. It's on their old farm. There's all modern buildings, and the buildings are built across man-made lakes. So they've dammed up streams and made larger areas, and so it's American art too, which is actually what our museum is going to be.
It's all American.
Yeah, we had to limit it because the ability to buy significant European stuff and significant stuff from other countries is limited. But that's just our permanent collection, because we would also bring in exhibitions that would be from other countries or other eras. So we hope to stimulate people's experience in a lot of areas of visual art.
Yeah, this is all very cool. Do you have a very favorite artist?
Well, I've got three.
Who are your three very favorite?
Three people who have influenced me. One is Richard Diebenkorn, who I'm lucky enough to have bought a painting of. And one is Fritz Schulder. He was he was Indian. He belonged to a tribe in California, but he's from Santa Fe, very Calistino. And I also like Wayne Thiebaud. And I just saw a Wayne Thiebaud exhibition in San Antonio. And that was a beautiful museum.
That is a beautiful one, huh?
Yeah. The interesting thing, and San Antonio reminds me, it's the interesting thing about most museums in the country, they're started by a person, a family, or a very small group of people who just have an idea. And then other people buy into their idea, and it grows. And I'm hoping that happens here. Hoping that Southwest New Mexico, from a visual art standpoint, becomes a mecca for tourism and for people who want. I mean, right now, Southwest Quadrant of New Mexico is pretty underserved people think of Santa Fe, they think of the Rio Grande Corridor, and that's those places are wonderful. But if a kid here shows an interest in art, his parents are having a hard time taking him 7 hours away to Santa Fe to look at a museum, or they're more likely to go to Arizona.
Oh yes,
to Tucson.
Most definitely.
Yeah, but and then it means an overnight trip, probably. I mean, there's a physical roadblock for kids to really see good art.
Well, it sounds like you're going to make that happen.
I hope so.
Victoria, I can't thank you enough for joining us today. This is all very exciting, and love to have you back for further updates. Just want to see what the next part of this journey is for you. And we're lucky us for having yeah. having you do this.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate being able to talk to you about it.
You've been listening to Community Spotlight on Gila Members Community Radio, Silver City, New Mexico, 89.1 FM, and online at gmcr.org. Community Spotlight will air every Thursday and Sunday. Thursdays at 10:30 in the morning, and Sunday at 11:30, and it also will be available online at gmcr.org. I'm Candace Burke. May you be well and happy.